Knock, in a railway, the in a silly. You're listening to the award-winning podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
This is the award-winning podcast. My name is Alex.
My name is Jace.
And we're here once again for Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, are you ready for some football?
Football!
On Sunday night.
Yeah!
What are we talking about?
We're here to talk about football.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, makes sense.
There were many games this weekend so
many
far.
Many games.
The only one we can't really talk about in too great a detail is the Monday night game between the Saints and the other team.
Because it hadn't happened yet.
Right. Who the hell are they playing? I forgot.
I don't know. You're the one that has it up on the screen. Find it.
You should know.
Why should I know?
I don't know. Oh, you should know because you have the player that's playing for.
Who do I have?
Like tomorrow. You're trying to win.
Oh, I have Josh Jacobs.
From the Raiders. That's right.
First game.
First game in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to get 50 points tomorrow.
He better.
3 touchdowns. 250 yards.
I mean, it's not impossible.
No.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and start off with a little discussion about the Thursday night game, since that was the first one. It was the, you know, biannual Cleveland Bowl, or like Ohio Bowl, I guess you call it.
Yeah.
Cincinnati versus the Cleveland Browns.
Cats and dogs.
Cleveland won, and it really wasn't even very close.
Right.
Joe Burrow for Cincinnati looked pretty good, you know, first overall pick. He actually looked really, really good a lot of times.
He looked solid in the pocket.
Yeah, he was, you know, so many rookies are just so, they get happy feet, you know. Coaches exactly. Talk about that because pressure is hitting them, and they'll get that happy feet, and he didn't have that. He stood tall in the pocket. He delivered good passes down the field. He was accurate. He showed great composure, in spite of the fact that he got hit a lot.
Yeah.
But, he looked good. The Browns looked really, really good. If they can play like that, then they can beat anybody. But
yeah, Mayfield looked very good for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, the questions are going to be there. Can they play consistently? Obviously, when they played the Ravens are a much, much better team than the Bengals.
Yeah, that's a true challenge.
The Ravens might be the best team in the NFL. They're just top to bottom. They're just loaded. And until we can see Baker Mayfield and the Browns compete at a high level against those top-tier teams, the questions are always going to be there. Can Baker play against good competition?
Right.
We'll have to see. But yeah, Browns win. The run game looked amazing. They set up the pass game for Baker Mayfield. He and OBJ were finally on the same page.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
OBJ, 4 receptions, 74 yards on the score.
Yep. Jarvis Landry did jack shit because, you know, I started him.
Exactly. Why'd you do that?
But yeah, overall it was, you know, it was a Thursday night game, so you kind of expect it to kind of suck normally. And it wasn't like a complete shit fest, but it was not very close.
Yeah.
But yeah. So moving on, we'll go ahead and touch on the afternoon games from today. We are going to start off, as we normally will, with the Bears.
The Bears.
Da Bears. And they won again.
Yeah, 2-0.
Undefeated to start this season. Now, granted, the competition is not particularly intimidating.
Yeah.
We played the Lions the first game, and we beat the Giants today. And, Trubisky looked pretty good for the most part in the first half. But then he threw a couple of bad picks and just...
Yeah, even balls he completed didn't look so good.
Like
that one touchdown, I forget to who, but it was wobbly. It was where it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's all that really matters, but...
Who cares how it gets there, as long as it gets there.
Just not the most technically proficient.
Right. You just don't want to see him throwing interceptions. If he can avoid doing that, you know, for the most part, he's pretty good about not turning the ball over. And if he can avoid doing that, we have a shot to win every game. The defense looked really good for the most part today. Of course, that's pretty easy to do when the Giants lose their best player far and away.
Today was a day of big injuries in the NFL.
Disaster.
And probably the most disappointing. Even as a Bears fan playing him, it was disappointing to see Saquon go out the way he did out because it looks bad. He's probably not going to be around this
year. The reports have come in. It's pretty much guaranteed to be a torn ACL. He's done for the year.
Yeah, he's listed as doubtful right now.
Right, yeah, he's out. He ain't going to play. I think they just don't have an official designation for him yet.
Right.
But it's an absolute shame. Saquon is legitimately one of my favorite players in the league, period, regardless of the team he plays for. I love him. He seems like a genuinely good person off the field, too.
Yeah.
He's a hardworking guy. He's just an absolute joy to watch play football. He can do things that are magnificent.
And he's a very handsome man.
He's a beautiful person. It's just an absolute shame. It's my sincere hope that he's able to come back from what can be a devastating injury and not have any of those lingering effects. And you know, it's early enough in the season that the only real good news on this is that he should be ready to go for next year.
Right.
Any more an ACL surgery, and you don't usually take much more than like 6-7 months to heal up, which is crazy. But hopefully he comes back to full strength. But yes, the Bears did win. The Giants, for the most part, did not look very good, especially once Saquon was gone. But in the second half, the script kind of flipped because the Bears went up 17-0 in the first half, but they really weren't able to capitalize on some good field position and good situations, and that ended up being a much closer game than it should have been. The Giants ended up having a chance to win it with seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
And they were well within throwing a touchdown pass, and they just couldn't quite get it done. The Bears did luck out with a win. You know, the positives here, the defense held the Giants to 13 points, and the Giants' offense looks like it's, I'm not going to say it's amazing, but it looks like it's better than average.
Right, it was nice to see. It was a sack fumble from Mac, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had both of our pass rushers healthy for the first time this season, with Robert Quinn getting to the quarterback and knocking the ball loose, and Khalil Mack hopped on it. That was cool. Some good defensive plays overall, but you know, it's early in the season. Hopefully they can keep up and stay consistent. But yeah, always happy to get a win either way.
Yeah, no matter how it comes.
Yep. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on to another game within our division. We'll talk about the Lions and the Packers. The Lions started off hot, and they scored 14 points in the first quarter. Packers only scored 3, so things were looking good if you don't like the Packers like we don't. And then, of course, because that's what the Lions do, they blew that lead, and Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones in particular absolutely destroyed.
Oh my God. 168 yards and 3 total touchdowns from Aaron Jones.
Not to mention he had 4 receptions for 68 yards.
Yeah.
One of them obviously being a touchdown.
Just a massive, massive day.
Yeah. And, you know, for such a giant yardage total, for him to only have touched the ball 22 times, that tells you just how explosive he is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they ended up winning 42-21. The Packers, boy, they look good this year. I hate to say it, I really do. I know that, you know, especially considering how poorly the Vikings played today, it's kind of hard to get a gauge on just, you know, as far as the competition they've faced, how good are they. But, you know, you have to play who you play. You don't get to choose that. And the Packers absolutely destroyed the Lions. As far as the Lions go, you know, Matt Stafford didn't play terribly. Generally speaking, when they lose a lot this year, which they will, it's not going to be his fault. He's still a pretty good quarterback. One big problem he has is Kenny Galladay.
Exactly.
Missed his second straight game. They're hoping to have him back by next week, but we'll see.
I'm hoping to have him back next week.
Yeah, he's a big target. He's definitely Stafford's favorite target and one of their best players, so they need him back desperately.
Oh, yeah.
So moving on, we'll go ahead and we'll talk about, we'll just briefly hit on the Vikings again, staying within the NFC North. The Vikings got obliterated today. Yeah. The Colts took it to them, and the Vikings are 0-2. Colts won 28-11. It didn't look good for the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, man.
Awful day.
Yeah, I think he was 11 for 26 at 113 yards, 3 interceptions, no touchdowns. There's really not a whole lot else you can do to break that down. He was god-awful.
Just bad. Yeah.
A very, very expensive, not good player.
Not much there. Adam Thielen, on the other side, he didn't really do much either.
No, I mean, when your quarterback only throws for 113 yards, there's not a whole lot your receiver is going to do. So a real rough loss for the Vikings, which I'm always glad to see. Jonathan Taylor took full control of that Colts backfield today. 26 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. He looked fantastic, even against a pretty decent front seven for the Vikings. Looking forward to seeing more of that from him.
Yeah, I'd say they found a good substitute for Marlon Mack.
Oh, I would say that Marlon Mack just got Wally Pipped.
Yeah.
So, you don't know the Wally Pipped story?
No.
So, Lou Gehrig, you know, the great Yankees first baseman.
He's got that one disease.
Well, he did.
Yeah. I guess.
So, the Yankees had a player named Wally Pipped who was, I guess, their starter. He went down with an injury. Lou Gehrig popped in, played for him, and then went on to break the record for consecutive games played. And Wally Pipp obviously never got his job back.
Wow.
So, yeah, that unfortunately, that's what looks like what happened to Marlon Mack. Jonathan Taylor was a high-round draft pick. It was always written on the wall for this to happen, but Taylor took firm control today.
Yeah, I'd say.
We'll briefly touch on the Bills and the Dolphins, which ended up being so much closer than it should have.
Yeah.
It ended up being a 31-28 win for the Bills. They're now 2-0.
Josh Allen looks good, but like you said earlier, I mean, he's had some pretty easy games these past two. So
that AFC East, it's not. Other, you know, the Patriots are better than anyone really expected. Obviously, the Bills look to be the class of the division right now. But the Dolphins and the Jets are pretty bad. And so the competition they faced has not been great. But the Dolphins have been playing tough. And Fitzmagic almost gave them a chance to win today. The weird thing was, there was a big delay. I think there was a power outage.
Really?
Yeah, so they were delayed for some time. And then they finally got back into it. And it looked like that was what the Dolphins needed. Because they came roaring back. And at one point, they did have the lead. But Josh Allen was able to go ahead and take over the game. 417 yards and 4 touchdowns for Josh Allen today, which, holy shit. I would wager a bet that Jim Kelly, on his best days, probably didn't put up those kind of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's unreal. He gets a lot of shit because of his inaccuracy problems, but he looked amazing today.
Yeah.
And he and Stephon Diggs hooked up a bunch of times.
I was going to say, 8 receptions, 153 yards, and a score for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And then John Brown, he didn't have a bad day either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have his stat line in front of me right now, but he finished with like 18 points for me on the day.
Yeah, he's solid. You know, they have a pretty good receiver core. Deep threats galore, and with the arm strength that Josh Allen has, they're a real threat. And the defense obviously didn't play up to their potential today, giving up 28 points to a rather weak Dolphins offense. But overall, they have a really strong defense, and they're going to be a tough matchup for a lot of teams going forward. The Bills are.
Yeah.
We'll briefly touch on the Titans versus the Jaguars. For what you would kind of expect to be a boring slog, it ended up being a real shootout.
Yeah.
It ended up being a 33-30 win for the Titans. The Jaguars played it tough. Gardner Minshew with another really nice game.
Oh, yeah. 30 for 45,
yeah.
239 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yeah, he looked great. And he continues to prove why the Jaguars were so eager to trade away Big Dick Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
James Robinson, the rookie running back, he looks like he's the main guy, and that's news for fantasy players, obviously. 16 carries, 102 yards, and a score. It looked like it was a really tight game. I obviously didn't watch any of it. We were too busy watching the Bears and their heart attack-inducing game.
Right.
But, yeah, the Titans are a really good team, but the Jaguars are better than anyone expected, and that could be rough because it kind of seems like they're trying to tank. So if you're trying to tank, you probably don't want to play this well.
Right.
But, Gardner Minshew is making a case that he is the quarterback of the future. He's definitely the quarterback of the present, and I'll tell you this much, I would take him in a heartbeat over Trubisky right now.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, he looks good.
Minshew mania is Minshew running rampant.
Mania, that fantastic mustache.
Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and we'll move along to the next game.
Real quick, they should start calling him Fu Minshew. Isn't that funny? How has that not been said? That mustache? Gardner Fu Minshew.
Oh my god. Yeah.
We're starting a hashtag Fu Minshew.
Fu Minshew. That'll work. That'll be great.
How has nobody made that connection yet? I'm so smart. Alright, let's move on. What are we talking about now?
Let's talk about what might have been the craziest game of the entire day. That would be the Falcons and the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yeah.
The Falcons got up to a giant lead. When we talked about this game, as far as like a preview for our fantasy, we talked about how you want to start anybody you can in this game because it was going to be a shootout. Neither defense is very good. Ended up being, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. Because the Falcons got up early. At one point, they were up 29-10. They scored 20 points in the first quarter while the Cowboys could not score. But after that, the Cowboys came roaring back, and the Falcons just could not ice away this win. They gave them too many opportunities, in spite of the fact that the Cowboys managed to, when they scored, they had a chance to bring it within a one-score game, and they went for two instead, failed to get it, remained a 9-point lead. And they came back through, scored another touchdown. They were down, and they needed to get an onside kick. And this is where things just went crazy.
Yeah.
They kicked the weirdest onside kick I've ever seen.
Yeah, the slowest rolling.
They didn't use a stand or anything like that. They just laid the ball flat. Zuerlein kicked it, and it just rolled on the ground, spinning rapidly. And it just looked like it was going to stop so many times short of 10 yards, but it just kept going. And none of the Falcons players were wise enough to jump on it because my guess is they'd just never seen anything like it because I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they weren't prepared for it.
It took so long for it to make it those 10 yards. And once it did, the Cowboys jumped on it and came away with the ball and did what they had to do to win.
Yeah, then they brought it within a 46-yard field goal, I think it was, and Zuerlein knocked it through. They win. Final score ends up being 40-39. Both quarterbacks had giant days.
Oh my god.
Matt Ryan's threw for what? Four touchdowns.
Yeah, and four then touchdowns.
Dak Prescott had 450 yards passing.
And also four touchdowns.
And a touchdown through the air, but he ran for three more.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. It was a giant day for fantasy players if you had any of those guys. Bit of news as far as fantasy goes. I had some notes here. CeeDee Lamb from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He's real. He's the guy you want, not Michael Gallup. I thought maybe Gallup was still the number two, and he might be listed as the number two in the depth chart. But when the chips are down, they're looking for him.
Really?
They're looking for Amari Cooper, and they're looking for him.
Huh.
And CeeDee Lamb, even as a rookie, he's so talented. He is delivering in a big, big way. He had over 100 yards today on six catches. So, I mean, not like a huge amount of volume, but he's such a playmaker that once the ball is in his hands, it's game over. He's really, really good. So, moving on. I guess we got to talk about the 49ers and the Jets. It wasn't like a particularly close game. The Niners blew them the hell out. But the big thing there was all the injuries.
Yeah.
The Niners lost so many people in that game, including their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. He went down. They lost. Wow. Raheem Mostert had a huge 80-yard touchdown and, you know, a decent first half, and then something tweaked in his knee, and they're worried that that could be an ACL. Then they're saying it's an MCL, so they're trying to reevaluate that. But, you know, that's a huge loss. Arguably their best defensive player, Nick Bosa, think he tore his ACL.
Oh.
Yeah.
Day for ACLs.
Oh, man. Solomon Thomas, their other defensive end, he got hurt. They haven't given a good report there as to what that is. And they already came into the game with George Kittle being hurt and most of their receivers being hurt. It's not a good time to be a 49ers fan. It's pretty rough. And they came away with a lot of blame being thrown at the Jets' field turf as far as the quality of it. There's a lot of talk that it was just so bad, and that's what was causing so many of those shitty fucking injuries.
Wow. Well, I mean, Mostert went down, but Jerick McKinnon came in and kind of, you know, salvaged some shit for him. 77 yards and a score.
If he's out there, he's the guy you want. He didn't touch the ball a lot, but he was effective when he had the ball.
Yeah, he made do with it.
But yeah, they ended up winning 31-13. For the Jets, I mean, there's just nothing to talk about.
They
just didn't play well.
Right. I don't even see any Jets on any of the matchups for all our leagues that I'm looking at. I don't see any Jets players.
Nobody should be playing any Jets.
The only one I could think of would be Jameson Crowder, and I think
he didn't even play. Yeah, he didn't play. He was hurt. Yep. So bad stuff for the Jets, as per usual. We'll move on. We'll talk about the Rams and the Eagles. Ended up being kind of a blowout. I thought it was going to be close for a while. It was a fairly close game.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the Rams' defense was a little too talented, I think. And Wentz struggled a lot. He just didn't look good. Threw a couple of picks, and there just wasn't a whole lot there for him. If you picked up Dallas Goedert off the waiver wire last week,
right, hoping he'd have a repeat,
right, he did not quite get there. He had 7 points for me in a PPR league, so he wasn't great. But the good news, I guess, there is that Ertz wasn't all that great either. I think it was just a bad game.
Yeah, I think it was just the day in general. Not so much. Not so much on him.
The Rams running back situation got a little more muddy. Because Malcolm Brown didn't really do much. Cam Akers got hurt, and Daryl Henderson ended up having a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'll tell you, the Rams tight end, Higbee,
holy shit.
Yeah. 3 touchdowns on 5 receptions for 54 yards.
Yeah. Jared Goff was 20 of 27, had 267 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah. Really good game.
Just
all 3 of those touchdowns to Higbee.
Yeah.
He just looked good. The whole offense looks good. The team looks good. They look like they're back to being their potentially contenders.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good team.
I gotta tell you, I really like Goff as a quarterback. If he can keep the ball in his teammates' hands rather than throwing interceptions, which he's prone to do, then he can be a hell of a quarterback. But I think for him, it comes down to taking the time, and like you said, with the whole happy feet thing, just staying present in the pocket. But
one of the biggest problems with Jared Goff that I have is that he's so effective with play action. He is a game script quarterback in that if there's any kind of deviation from they're running the ball well and he's able to roll in the pocket and have that kind of stuff working for him. If there's any deviation and they're down and they have to come roaring back in a furious way and he has to stand in the pocket and deliver passes, that's usually when he struggles. So he's good for fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy him yet as an actual NFL quarterback, but we'll see. We had another injury-laden game with the Broncos and the Steelers. Interestingly enough, James Conner was able to come back from an injury with 106 yards.
Yeah,
he looked good.
Yeah, decent game for him.
But we did see Courtland Sutton came back to play after missing week 1. Had a nice game going with 3 catches, 66 yards. and then he hurt himself again. Mm-hmm. So no timetable yet how that's going to go down. Jerry Jeudy, their first round pick wide receiver, he got hurt. So
yeah, it looked like he came back to the game.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is.
Because it was, like, after I heard that he went down, like, I guess he hit his head or something.
Something,
yeah. He got a couple of points after that, right. So, like, he was still on the field afterwards.
And then probably their biggest loss was Drew Locke, yeah. The quarterback. No timetable there. We don't really know what necessarily happened with him. It didn't look good. Jeff Driskel actually came in as their backup and played pretty well, especially against that Steelers defense, but... ultimately, Steelers were just a little too good. They ended up winning 26-21.
Yeah. This is not somebody I would love to have playing quarterback for my team.
Well, you know, he looked pretty good for the Lions at times last year. But anyway, we'll move on and we'll talk about the Buccaneers and the Panthers. Tom Brady got his first win in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Looked good in the first half and then kind of never really... did anything after that?
Yeah, not much of that victory is on him.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he did his part, I guess. But
the defense looked good.
Yeah.
They really, really, they put a hurting on Teddy Bridgewater. And
apparently they put a hurting on Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what the situation is there. He, the official designation is there's something wrong with his ankle. They'll have to reevaluate.
Sure, it's not an ACL. It seems to be a theme today.
Seemed to be, yeah. But as of right now, he tweaked his ankle. I'm sure they're hoping to have him back. I also would assume that they're not going to rush him back because he is the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Other big news, if you have Leonard Fournette, you're happy.
Yes.
Because he delivered in the second game. I don't think anyone saw this coming, but he led the team with the 12 carries. More importantly, with those 12 carries, he had 103 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah,
so.
Very efficient 12 carries.
Fantasy-wise.
Justified me drafting him, I think, like the 6th round or something like that.
Yeah, you definitely reached higher than I was willing to go on him, mm-hmm. And it looks like you're going to be rewarded for it.
I hope so.
Yeah, he looked good. Look, the Tampa Bay didn't exactly play amazing offensively today. But they did enough to win, obviously, and the defense is real. We've talked about them a little bit last week. They are really good. And when they shut down that Saints offense for the most part last week, that's not an outlier. They're a good defense.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles is their defensive coordinator, and he is really good on that side of the ball. So, yeah, going forward, you need to adjust your expectations whenever you have a fantasy player and they're going into Tampa Bay. It's not necessarily a good situation.
Yeah, it's not the cakewalk you might have thought it was.
Yeah, used to be. It used to be easy. You might recall a couple years ago, yeah. Mitch Trubisky threw 6 touchdowns against those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on. Washington football team coming off of a strong win against the Eagles. They did fall a little flat today. The Cardinals came out. Kyler Murray was excellent yet again.
Mm-hmm.
He's just fun to watch. He's like, he's a lot like Russell Wilson in that he's, you know, he's short and athletic, but he's just got so much explosiveness. Like anytime he goes to run, everyone in the whole world that's watching should just hold their breath.
Yeah,
because he's just super excited. He's kind of like a discount Lamar Jackson in that way. He's
high praise.
Yeah, he's awesome to watch, and I think we could be seeing something really special happening in Arizona. The offense looked good again. DeAndre Hopkins didn't quite have the yardage he did, but got a lot of targets, so you gotta like that.
Yeah.
Kenyon
Drake, I mean, I looked at his points earlier, and I was a little disappointed, but with only 20 carries... at 86 yards, I mean, that's not a bad day. Football-wise, fantasy-wise, it's not a great day.
Yeah, I mean, you expect a little more, but, you know. Terry McLaurin ended up having a nice garbage time.
Yeah.
7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's the only person in Washington that you want to have on your team right now.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. So we'll move on, and we'll talk about the...
just
about covers the early afternoon games.
Yeah,
so we'll go ahead and talk about the later afternoon games. The one I watched the most of was the Chiefs and the Chargers. Ended up being a really close game. They went to overtime. And for the most part, the Chiefs looked out of sync in that first half, and they just weren't getting the job done. At one point, Tyreek went almost three full quarters without getting a catch. And it just didn't look good. The Chargers' defense was on Mahomes. Their pass rush is really good. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, they're intimidating. Mm. And then you couple that with a couple of really good corners, and Casey Hayward. It's a really good defense, and if they can hold the Chiefs down, understand, they can hold anybody down.
Yeah. Man, if he'll give me one more yard, I'll get the bonus, get the 5 points, but no, not today.
Well, eventually the Chiefs did click, and Pat Mahomes became Pat Mahomes, started doing what he does. He made a lot of impact with his feet, just being able to run the ball.
Yeah.
People would clear out, and obviously the one thing you're worried about when you're playing against Pat Mahomes is his giant arm. You don't necessarily care about his ability to run, but he hurt them in a big way in clutch moments today running the ball. He would just pick his spots. He does it smart. And then, of course, his arm, his talent, what he was able to do is just... You don't ever want to be in a situation where your team is up just enough for Pat Mahomes to come roaring back, because he will. He showed us that all through the playoffs last year.
If you're going to beat him, put a spanking on him. Don't give him the pressure he needs to mount the comeback.
Keep it up. Another highlight I would talk about is Justin Herbert, the first-round pick for the Chargers, who they were kind of expecting to let him sit probably for most of this season. He had to come into action early today because Tyrod Taylor had re-aggravated a rib injury. And Herbert played really, really well. In spite of, I'm assuming, very little prep, as far as like first team reps and stuff like that. I'm sure that he was very underprepared. But he came in, hit 22 of 33, 311 yards, touchdown. He had some good running moments of his own. He's athletic. He's tall. He stands in the pocket. He delivered some really accurate passes down the field. Super talented. After the game, the coach, Anthony Lynn, was saying that Herbert was probably going to be benched whenever Tyrod was healthy. And I don't get that.
Right.
I really don't, because, why would you... To me, he's proven he can play. Give him more prep.
Yeah.
And he can come out and he can probably win you some games.
Right.
Yeah. Overall, really great game. Went to overtime. The Chiefs managed to win it with a big field goal from Butker. Really fun game to watch, and they'll play again this year, and it'll be fun to watch that one too, hopefully. The later afternoon one was the Ravens and the Texans. That was a blowout. The Ravens are so good. It's one thing to have an otherworldly talent like Lamar Jackson, a quarterback.
Right, which he didn't go off. Right. He didn't really need to, though.
No, he did not.
He'd get a early lead and just kind of nurse it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they needed.
He did manage to make them look like fools with a couple of runs and just kind of do some Lamar Jackson shit. But for the most part, they didn't necessarily need him. And the reason they didn't need him, that defense is really good.
Yeah, they put the stop on
them. They're so good. It's not fair for them to have Lamar Jackson and his ability in that offense. And then also you have a defense that can shut just about anybody down. The Texans really got fucked on the schedule to open with the Chiefs and then turn around and now you got to play the fucking Ravens.
Yeah.
It's just rough.
Yeah, it could kill the momentum for the season.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, he was hit a lot and he didn't have the best day. But, he finished with a respectable 25 for 36 with 275 yards. Nothing to write home about. Will Fuller went from having a really great day to having zero catches for 0 yards. Mm-hmm. He just did nothing. Brandon Cooks came alive a little bit, 5 for 95. Not a whole lot to take away here as far as fantasy goes. I would just say maybe have higher expectations for the Texans going forward, because they're done. They're not going to have to play the Ravens again.
Yeah, that's
and they're not
going
to have to play the Chiefs
up
again.
A little bit.
So I expect better things from them going forward.
Yeah, David Johnson didn't have much of a game. 34 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, rushing.
My assumption
passes,
was,
but...
yeah, they were in a situation where they had to throw the ball a lot early. So it just didn't quite
work out.
It wasn't
going to be a game for him.
It was a tough, tough game. So that should cover all that. We'll go ahead and talk about what I think might have been the best game overall. Just as far as like back and forth. The Seahawks
Sunday night,
which just happened. Seahawks were at home against the Patriots and Cam Newton. And big takeaway here, like just right out of the gate, I want to talk about Cam Newton and how great he looked.
Yeah.
Like, I know they lost and, you know, and all that, but he looked fantastic. He has all that arm strength that he used to have. It's there. He made a few throws. The way he throws the ball is just different because there's no arc.
Yeah, it's just a beeline.
It's just a straight frozen rope to somebody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got a laser. He looks great. And, you know, the way that game ended was amazing. You know, Cam Newton and the Patriots were driving down the field. They got the ball to, like, the 2 or 3 yard line with 2 seconds left. And they tried to do the same thing that they had done several times in that game where they just load the box with blockers. You got tight ends and offensive linemen, just extra O-linemen. You got a fullback. And it's the Cam Newton show because 10 blockers are taking on everybody while Cam Newton picks and chooses. And for the entire game, whenever they would do that, the Seahawks could not stop. And then with 3 seconds left, they tried to do the same thing, and the Seahawks
stopped it.
Burst through the line.
Yeah, what Cam Newton does is he sits back and waits for that hole to open, and it just wasn't there.
They blew it up immediately. It was an interesting game. Like, immediately, it was hard hitting, and it got chippy. There was a fight on the sidelines between Stephon Gilmore and DK Metcalf. It was very chippy from the beginning. There was a big hit that ended up getting a penalty. Quandre Diggs, the safety for the Seahawks, hit helmet to helmet on I think it was N'Keal Harry, and Harry ended up, I don't know how he held on to the ball, but he held on to the catch, and then he got right back up. Which when the hit happened, I was like, oh shit, he's gonna be knocked out. Nope, he got right back up. He was good to go. So I mean, he's tough, and
I'd say, and he had himself a pretty decent day too, like 15 points or something by the end of it.
Good player. Hopefully, we'll see a little more out of him. Look at the passing offense for the Patriots, just kind of out of necessity because the Seahawks were up most of the game. Cam Newton almost had 400 yards.
Yeah,
almost messed around and had a fucking 400 yard game.
Yeah, 397 yards, 3 total touchdowns with an interception. But man, like, you can forgive it with a day like that.
Yeah, honestly, especially in the fantasy side of things, he's definitely well worth your time.
He finishes with 45 points. You can't bitch about a fucking interception.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, he was amazing. And then coupling on that, even more amazing. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
My God. Like, I'm just going to throw this out there.
5 touchdowns.
I think Russell Wilson is the most efficient quarterback that has ever played.
Well, now Gardner Minshew's giving him a run for his money. Give him a couple of years into it.
Let's give him like a little.
Maybe not
9-year career
because Russell Wilson's like 5'10", but he's got some big fucking shoes.
Yeah, Russ is unbelievable. Last week he only missed 4 passes and he threw 4 touchdowns. Today I don't know how many passes he missed on, but he threw 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, 288 yards, 5 touchdowns. Again, with an interception, but you
the
can
pick
it.
He threw wasn't his fault. It was tipped.
Yeah,
it was tipped, and it fell into the lap of the defender. He took it to the house for 6.
Yeah.
And other than that, like, that is the one blemish on his game. He threw at least 3 perfect passes down the field, deep down the field. The one he threw to DK Metcalf for a touchdown over Stephon Gilmore, the best corner in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was 100% perfect. It had to be exactly where it was, and he placed. He couldn't have walked over and handed it to him any better. It was unbelievable. Russell Wilson is he's the best quarterback that just doesn't get enough attention. I know he gets plenty of attention because he's a good quarterback. He kind of looks like a frog sometimes, but I guess he's kind of a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. But he's dating. Or he's married to somebody that's famous. I don't know who she is.
And he finally lost his virginity.
Yeah, he lost his virginity. Allegedly. But yeah, he's never won MVP. And he didn't get a single MVP vote last year.
Yeah, thanks, Collinsworth.
What the fuck? That blew my mind because he played unreal last year. And he's already shattering those expectations. If I was picking MVP right now, he'd be the guy. He's playing unreal. He's just that good.
Yeah.
And, DK Metcalf continues to show that everybody in the league is an idiot for letting him fall to the second round. 6'4", 230 pounds. Just look at him. He looks like he was carved out of stone by Zeus himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, his speed, his explosiveness, his athleticism... And
real deep threat.
He's maybe the best deep threat in the game right now, including Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Because Tyreek Hill, for all of his greatness that he can provide there, he can't go up and get it like a 6'4 guy.
No, you can have all the tools, but if you don't have that height, then you just can't do it like the big guys.
Oh, unless you're Steve Smith.
Well, yeah, there are exceptions. DK Metcalf, McCaff. 4 receptions, 92 yards, and a score. Big day. Could have been bigger if he gave me 8 more or 8 more yards.
Yeah,
just got 8 bonus. More yards.
Yeah, but no.
I'm not complaining.
It was a really fun game to watch. It was just back and forth. Cam Newton was on fire. He hit Julian Edelman for a few big passes, but the one where Edelman was basically making a diving catch and getting tackled by Jamal Adams at the same time. Yeah, you want some other news? Jamal Adams, beast. Yeah. Absolute beast. He is...
He's okay, I guess.
God, he's so good. It still angers me that the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky over him. That's who I wanted that year.
Lot of people that anger you that they drafted Mitch Trubisky over.
Well, obviously, you hope that they would know better and take Mahomes, but the guy I wanted over everybody was Jamal Adams. But yeah, he's a beast. He's great. The Seahawks, honest to God, they kind of look unbeatable right now.
Right.
Like, they're just...
Even without the 12th man.
Yeah. Their offense, right now, they're letting Russ cook. Mm-hmm. And they need to continue to do
I'd
that.
I'd say.
They need to continue to do that because he's dropping dimes
he's
all
running
the
kitchen like Emerald.
Yeah. Bam! Bam! Everywhere. Bam! Touchdown DK. Bam!
Get up a notch.
He threw another perfect pass to Chris Carson. And Chris Carson's not like a great pass catching back, but it was just so perfect that he caught it. And it was, man, he's on fire. He's the MVP. Great game. Came down to the wire. The finish was awesome. Goal line stand from the Seahawks.
Yeah, I only caught the second half of it, but I'm glad I caught that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good game.
Yeah.
So that's Easter Sunday. We'll do a little preview for Monday night. We've got the Las Vegas Raiders. For the first time, there's going to be an NFL game in Las Vegas. It's a little bit of history. And they're playing against the Saints. And look, the Saints looked bad last week to me, offensively especially.
Yeah.
The defense is real. They're really good. The offense looked bad. But I'm starting to wonder how much of that was Tampa Bay's defense just being stellar.
Right. Because
they are. They're really good.
Yeah.
So there's going to be question marks there. Obviously, Michael Thomas is
big
out. That's a huge hit. He's their best player, period. Mm-hmm. So you need to wonder what's going to happen there. The Raiders, we don't know. We don't know what the Raiders are right now.
No.
I think that they have some good bones. The big thing they have, big thing, literally, their offensive line.
Yeah.
Giant, just fucking elephants. Like, what's his name? Trent Brown, their right tackle. He's 6'9" and he's like 360 pounds.
Jeez,
he's just an absolute road grader.
Man.
Yeah, and so they they love giving the ball to Josh Jacobs and just let him run behind those Giants, and he finds gaps, and yeah, they're just going to pound the rock all day. And
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. They're going to set up play action, and Derek Carr, he doesn't have a whole lot of targets to work with, but Darren Waller, the baller, tight end, he's super fast, super athletic. He's a real threat. Henry Ruggs is a deep ball threat with all kinds of speed. They got, what was the name? I can never remember. It's Renfro, but I think his name's Hunter. But I think also Hunter Renfro is maybe the right fielder for the Padres. So I don't know.
I haven't seen that name at all looking through the fantasy list here.
Former Clemson Tiger Renfro, little short white dude that everybody always loves to have one of those as their slot receiver.
Yeah.
I remember they had Hard Knocks in Oakland last year. And it was his rookie year, I think it was. And his hairline is just all bad. He looks like he should be like 39, but he's maybe 22 or 23.
Wow, what a freak. I don't know anything about that.
There was, they had a whole thing about it. But yeah, I expect the Saints to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders do.
Right. I mean, like you said, New Orleans didn't look great last week, but that could be because of Tampa Bay. But Drew Brees, I don't know, he seemed like he couldn't get it together. Yeah. But he's Drew Brees, so you can't count him out.
Yeah, you just kind of keep expecting, like, he's going to come back, he's going to be Drew Brees, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And this, I'm not going to say that it won't happen, I'm not going to say that it will happen. But the game last weekend against Tampa, he just... It looked like his arm strength was completely sapped. He just didn't look the same. So I'm concerned about that. And the Raiders have the perfect formula to beat anybody in the league. Big offensive line, run the ball, kill the clock, don't let Drew Brees have the ball, score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got all that. They can do that. And if their game plan goes according to what they want, they should be in prime position to win tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and predict that the Saints do.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right.
Yep. But that should just about do it for our Easter Sunday.
Yeah, man, I should keep it under an hour, too.
Yeah, yeah. All good there. So we'll be talking about probably Wednesday we'll talk about fantasy. Maybe Tuesday. Yeah, I think we'll talk Tuesday. So we can give you some tips on waiver wire, things like that, you know, guys out there that you might want to pick up. And we'll talk a little bit of fantasy, maybe even hit on what happened with the Monday night game. So go ahead and check that out whenever we have that out. Also, I'll be releasing more top 10 lists with me and Tyler Dojan. We had a little bit of an argument regarding Clay Matthews, who is like the one person that I hate more than just about anything in the world.
Yeah.
So that
he's probably a really nice guy and everything, but he just looks like a douchebag, and he's a Packer.
He's a Packer in my mind, no matter what, no matter where he's at now.
Yeah.
Which I think he's a free agent, but still.
Right, screw him.
Fuck him and fuck the whole Matthews family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks for listening. The Bears, again, are undefeated.
Undefeated.
They're never going to lose this year.
Nope.
Never
Super Bowl bound.
Super Bowl bound. Just mark it down. Chicago Bears, they are your 2020 Super Bowl champion. Anybody who says different is wrong.
You heard it here first, people.
Damn straight. Mitch Trubisky, MVP.
That's going a little far.
No.
I'll accept it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.